Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Our phone number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net, if you prefer email. You know, it's, pardon me, I seem to have that dry throat going this morning, so, yeah, I don't, hopefully I won't have to too often, okay? We had a whole lot of data out this week, right? And but I don't want to just talk about data. But we have to talk about the fact that GDP, which is, of course, with Joe in the in office, we have to talk about the fact that GDP now is higher than it was pre-pandemic. Now, it would always be that way. And the policies that we have with threats of higher taxes, shutting down the pipeline, all of those things are not pro-business. I get that. But this is so important to the market. Yes, GDP came in far lower than expected, but the market didn't take a hit because numbers don't matter. They don't. The exact numbers don't matter. It's the trajectory that matters, right? Are we growing? We're back to pre-pandemic. Should we be growing faster? Absolutely. Let's look at 2009. New president comes in and decides that he hates business. And that was pretty clear, the most anti-business president, certainly, since Jimmy Carter, maybe more so than Jimmy Carter, perhaps. Maybe Jimmy Carter was just inept. I don't know. But Obama hated business. He did. Never was involved in business, never actually did anything in his whole life. So why would we assume that he would be pro-business? In spite of that, we grew. Now, economists on the left made all kinds of arguments that we can't grow any faster. It's just systemic. It's the way it is. The new world order is slower growth until Donald Trump proved that that's not the case at all. If government gets out of the way, we can grow very rapidly, and we did. Then we have the pandemic, and we put the brakes on. Now, we don't need to go through a whole history lesson, but we have to understand this. When we come out and you read it one way or another, because remember, the news is always bad. And I'm going to touch on a couple of things here that we'll talk about today. It's always bad. So the GDP report, which was below expectations. I'm not saying it was a lie. It was far below expectations. But it doesn't mean we're not growing. And it doesn't mean that we're not back to total gross domestic production for the entire country. We're back where we were prior to the pandemic. A fine recovery. It could have been better. It should be better. But we continue to double down on stupid with half of the states continuing to, well, half the state. I mean, the federal government providing more money for people to stay at home. Gee, I wonder why people are having trouble finding employees. Just a shocking development out there. But we have this. And that's what the world is. But it is, and it should be better, but we are growing. And that's sometimes when we think about directionally. Directionally, are we growing is the most important question, not by how much. Are profits growing? Yes, better than expected. Okay, but the better than expected, we're still blowout numbers. And they're exceeding those. That's good for individual companies that exceed their expectations. But generally, overall, corporate profits, we knew were going to grow. We don't have to wait for the exact number for the market to be doing well, knowing that we're reopening, that the economy is heading back to pre-pandemic levels overall, and that corporate profits are going to be hitting record levels again. So are stocks overpriced? No, they're not. But everybody says they are, Dave. They've been saying so for 15, 20,000 points on the Dow. It won't stop. They won't stop. And the news is always bad. Always bad. Last week, Now, this is what I want to, this is kind of a quiz, or if you will, how do you think of things when you read something? Now, a very serious question. Very serious point. So, I remember an announcement a week ago. Big announcement on all the media, and of course they all covered it, right? That the life expectancy in America has declined. And now here's the question. Without reading the article, what is your... Okay, I realize... What did I just say? Who reads articles? We just read headlines. Who would actually read an article? Who would look at the data? I'm sorry. I forgot. Nobody reads articles anymore. We read headlines. So beyond that, if you happen to sneak a paragraph or two in, or did you just look at it and go, oh, wow, yeah. Or did you look at it like I did and went, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I'm not even going to read that article. That's morons in charge. Because we know that. We know the life expectancy is increasing all around us. We all know people that just simply, they were supposed to be gone 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. They're still here. We know the breakthroughs in vaccines are going to lead to more scientific discoveries. We know that the breakthroughs in genetics, we know about the breakthroughs in artificial intelligence, in 3D printing of organs, skin, everything else, in diagnostics, in surgeries, everything, all screams and yells. We are all going to live a lot longer. Or do we just consume headlines and go, yep, I knew it was crappy out there. I knew it. I know. It's bad. It's all bad. It's never going to get better. Paper, article after article. Because they're all negative all the time. Well, here's the good news. It was stupid. Just a bunch of morons trying to make a headline, took data, twisted it, because liars, statistics lie and liars use statistics. But that's why we just have to know intuitively. You have to trust your own. I know it's unusual. Common sense is not common. But we do have some of that somehow, or we can tap into it. We can learn to think. Question. Question things. Guys, knowing that everything is negative helps. It's like, oh, there's another super negative thing. Pointless. I don't need to read it. There's more negative streaming data. I don't need that one either. Won't help my thought process. That's not big picture. That's minutia. Garbage. Toss it. Makes me worry more than I should. Makes me fear investing in a world that continues to defy all predictions and become more and more and more and more abundant. Decade after decade. Lifetime after lifetime. All the time. We just get better. But you wouldn't know it by just reading misinformation. Well, anyway, forgot to finish my thought on this. The Wall Street Journal fortunately picked it up for us and had a professor point out why it was the stupidest thing in the world. COVID will increase life expectancy is what the heading of that one is. When we only read headlines and they're all negative all of the time, how do we invest? How do we think? How do we think at all? We want government to figure everything out when government is so unbelievably inept. I mean, the CDC, do we need to look further than the CDC? Could they have handled this worse? I mean, from the beginning, could Fauci flip-flop more than a pancake? No, it's not possible. And yet, we continue with this drivel. Well, the CDC guidelines, who cares? These people are morons. The messaging, everything is terrible from them. Absolutely horrible. It's panic one day, it's a don't worry the next. They are all over the board. And I get the science changes. It's an evolving disease. But why are they just running around like their hair is on fire all the time? These are supposed to be the scientists, people in charge. It's like the economists out there that are telling people, no, statistically, this is like, you know, and this is what happens with viruses, and the CDC is running around with their hair on fire. Crazy. Crazy. Yeah, we want more government, more of that, because it's just so good, right? So good. All right. We're going to take a break here, but I want to come back with something here too, and hopefully your phone calls as well. You know, comparison destroys joy. It totally destroys joy. She's prettier than this, and you know, we think about that with social media all of the time. All of the time. And we compare. We have less money than the billionaires, so it's not that good. It's not good. But comparison destroys joy. And we've been told that since biblical times. The Bible talks about it all the time. But we don't think about that. We allow statistics to just come in to our life instead of sitting around and recognizing how great the United States is. And I'll share some of that with you in a moment. But before you think we're a nation of the haves and the have-nots, stop and think and look around and see how well people are doing generally. And if we didn't compare, how amazing our life would be. We got to take a quick break. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Not good. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Now, you may wonder why I talk about this comparison destroying joy and why I'm going to talk about this for a moment. Because it all fits together into how we perceive the markets, we perceive the economy, and therefore our ability to invest, stay invested, and actually, you know what? I just have to remind myself anyway, because it's a natural human state that we have where we really aren't content if somebody has more. We're envious of that. And it also makes it us have a perception that we're just dead wrong about. And what is that perception we're dead wrong about? That, for example, we're not doing very well if you're not in the billionaires club. We need to work on income equality in our country. Do we? Or do we need to work on opportunity equality? Or is it all about outcome? Is that what it is? Is no matter how lazy, how much you've wasted money over the years and never saved it up so you could educate your kids, and so we need to, as a society, take care of that? Is that what we mean? So as we look at it and we think about this income equality, we also have to recognize that almost all the information, all the data reported, is negative and it's biased. So when you think about income equality as a simple thing, does it make sense that we're doing that poorly here? Is it really that bad? Is that the way it is? Are people in this country just, if you're not in the 5%, you're just not getting by. You're practically starving. That's what you read sometimes, isn't it? It leads us to feel, to think our country is in decline when it's not. It leads us to feel that it's a good idea for the government to do more redistribution, because that can't go wrong. We just simply need to worry about those folks. And so when they report information, I think it's important that we understand how that's reported. God bless the Wall Street Journal for pulling these things together, because they're the only paper that ever does that, you know, that ever gives us the actual data, right? Or, you know, finds a paper from The Economist at the University of Wisconsin, which is where this comes from. I really didn't realize it, but I'll tell you something. We don't count Social Security. We don't count pensions for wealth in our country. Are you kidding me? Who would measure it that way? It makes no sense at all. None. And it, so it distorts the whole perspective. And when you add that back in, the wealth gap narrows dramatically. Very dramatically. So when we are going and looking at this, why don't we do it honestly? Because it just distorts our thinking, and it also does this. It allows for the wrong discussion, takes our joy away, and makes us feel like the United States is doomed, and we're not. All right, you hear the music. We'll be back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Hour number two of Money Matters, and of course, these are my opinions and my opinions only. They're not this station, a broker-dealer, or anything like that. And we're here to learn together. And I think this segment, I want to talk a little bit about, a lot about that. I'm not sure how it's going to go. It's just something that's kind of been, we've been thinking about at the office. And I'm going to share some of that with you, and we'll see how that runs out, how that comes out. But we're not here to do the same old song and dance, you know, what to buy and sell. That just doesn't doesn't work. It's stupid, and it feeds into this insane level of noise that we have. It's insane. And we pretend that we can deal with it. I hear it all the time. I hear it for people that call in to Kevin's program, right? I hear it in people all the time. Here's the 10 things I'm worried about. Here's the 10 things I'm angry about. And we get it just feeds into that. A lack of understanding, if you will, right? We have to dial it back a little bit and think in bigger pictures, right? But you know, we've been so with that. We've been thinking about this, about a lot about this lately. Things like, you know, why are we different? You know, why are we thinking different? How do we think different? How do we be different without being different to just be different? Being thoughtful about things, because we're in this perfect place where we're far from Wall Street, so we don't get caught up in groupthink, which is a humongous problem on Wall Street. It's just huge. You know, ever notice how these firms or analysts all think the same about different about companies and all? I mean, maybe not all, but most all. There's uniformity of thought. Doesn't make it always wrong. It's just, you always have to ask that. If it's all about groupthink, what's the point? But we're in this perfect place where our firm is sizable, right? We're sizable. So the big firms, the JP Morgans and Goldman Sachs, they compete against each other for our part of our business, right? It's a perfect place where we're not institutional. We aren't taught what to, or told what to sell and stuff like that. So we're in a great spot to stop and think and try to, how do we hang on to that culture? How do we push that down to other generations? You know, to the new advisors coming, right? Because I love what I do, and I don't plan to retire, but someday God's going to retire me. I'm going to be out of here. And so you're always thinking of that stuff, right? Not always. We've just gone through all this, right? And part of it is because the world is upside down, and it's all weird. You know, people are all offended about everything. Goodness gracious. You know, it's just offense everywhere, anger everywhere. How can we be different? How can we hang on to our joy? In our, just love our jobs, right? Get better at it, at what we do. So we've been thinking about it a lot, right? And it kind of busts out, too, when you're talking to clients. What is it you're thinking about in the world, right? How are you building portfolios? What are you thinking about out there? Because we say this all the time. I remember the call last week, right, where I was just talking about the fact that we don't use any bonds. You can't use bonds. At 1.3% 10-year treasury, it won't work. This is what I call common sense. I don't need a slide rule. I don't need spreadsheets. I don't need to be an economics major to understand this. It won't work. If I'm supposed to put 40% of a portfolio and take 4% a year on 1.3% and cost of living adjusted. It won't work. Just because that's what people taught you 30 years ago. We got to be thinking. It's not a predictive thing. As the world changes, we need different tools to operate. It's much harder in a zero interest world. It's very hard to come up with income, but we can't do it in the same way. So we have to think about that. But when we do that, all of us have a built-in mechanism that doesn't want to change. This is the way it is. It's really easy for people to understand if I just say it's a modern portfolio theory, 60% stocks, 40% bonds, and it'll all work out. Even though it's pretty clear to a third grader, it won't work. It can't work. It cannot work. And I just don't see it being the right thing to do something that we know won't work. Right? So what are we thinking about? And so we think about bonds differently. You know that. You've been listening to this program for any amount of time. We're trying to figure out different ways in a zero interest world. How do you come up with income? What do? So we spend a lot of time thinking about that and talking with different portfolio managers, economists, all kinds of things. You know, again, like I say, we had a call this past week, just a fascinating call, fun call to bounce back and forth with a guy that manages, you know, with a team, of course, $100+ billion in an income fund. What are we doing? How do we do that? And they're like, you know, with decades of experience, scratching their head, trying to figure it out too. So sharing that and working through and trying to think of it in different ways. How do we do this? You can't do it with 1.3% 10-year treasuries. You can't. So how are we going to do it differently? And so we're thinking about that. And then when we roll that whole thought process forward, it's not, we don't have to predict the future in any precision. What we have to do is look at the trajectory. And this is where I think we get caught up a lot. I've thought about this a lot. It doesn't make me right. It makes it right for me. That I need to be thinking about the trajectory of earnings, not the precision of it. People sit around all the time and say, we think the earnings on the S&P 500 are going to be $223 this year, or whatever the number is. And they're wrong, you know, because it's 233. The question really is, are earnings growing or shrinking? Right? It's not, we don't have to be precise when we try to figure out how long people are going to live in the future. To know, as I said in the first hour, that when articles come out, great studies, great, all across the news media, we're told that life expectancy is shrinking in the United States and around the world because we had a pandemic and more people died in 2020. That the life expectancy going forward has changed. To go, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I can't believe people would put pen to paper, that reporters would go, you know what I want to talk about tonight? I don't want to talk about anything that's relevant. I'm going to make some stuff up and talk stupid talk to you. Okay? Because it's bad news and you're going to want to hear it. Because you don't want to hear what's really going on out there. You want to hear bad news, and I want to ruin your day. Better grab another beer, because it's going to be bad. And it's going to be totally made up. It's totally not true. But I want you to hear it. I know you've heard it 6 times today, but we got to drive this point home. You're going to die sooner than you thought. That's tonight's news. And that's this drivel goes on all the time. And all you have to do is ask, does that make any sense at all? Like, but Dave, you're not a doctor. You're not a futurist. You don't have to be to know what's going on, even in the lightest way. I don't understand 5G, but it's amazing what it's doing. Connecting things, connecting data. You might not like the loss of privacy and those kind of, I don't either. But for science and advancement in technology, it's astounding. Being able to read all of my, if you will, chemicals, zillions of them running through my body in real time to know I might be in danger of having a heart attack. Better come pick me up. Those kinds of things. Do I think that that means I probably have a chance of living longer? Or that all the biotech drugs that they're coming up with might mean that I have a chance of not getting Alzheimer's? That there's a chance? That the quality of life might be better? That the stem cell research that they're doing and finding that as we age that we don't create the new stem cells, but gosh, already like so yesterday, when we do that in mice, they get younger. Don't I think that some of that stuff over the next 20 years is going to be maybe allowing our bodies not to just die inside? And we're just the tip of the iceberg, right? About what's going to go on. The planet's going to die. Okay. Well, it has always been going to die. And there's already too many billions of people, more than we were supposed to all starve to death, but we don't. Because all of those problems get solved by technology. All the time. And we just live longer and healthier lives. We understand our bodies better with science. And with all this abundance, and as I said before, you know, comparison destroys joy. And when we think about that somebody else has something better than us, instead of just stopping and saying the world is amazing, I can't believe how few people in the world now, compared to even 20 years ago, are not starving to death. But life expectancy is declining. Really? It's not. Or the wealth disparity in the United States is so great, but it's not. The poorest people in our country live remarkably well. Isn't that the bottom line? No. It's comparison game. So we figure out ways. And underlying it, why is this important? What are we thinking about? We're thinking about all of the things like artificial intelligence, robotics, all of those things that are growing like crazy, that the economy is going to keep growing like crazy. The abundance to the average person is going to continue to increase exponentially. The corporate profits that drive the market are going to be going up and up and up. And those that don't keep up are going to go out of business and be replaced by those who are coming up with amazing new things. That, to me, is the big picture. That's what we're thinking about. And we're just trying to stay out in front of all of that instead of just reading endless blobs of negative news. It is hard to find income in a zero-interest world. We got to do it different in creative ways. We have to figure out how to do that. We have to have money in front of where the world is going. And it doesn't mean all the money, because you can't do that. You know, you don't know which company is going to win in the robotics age, which 3D company is going to come up with 3D printing that is like on our desk and replaces the entire toolbox, because all we do is look at a picture, download it, and it makes that nut and bolt for you in minutes. Well, I guess when we think about things, you don't want to necessarily own the hardware store down the street, because we probably won't show up as much, because we'll print a lot of that. But I get ahead of myself. Basically, You try to stay at a high enough, we are trying to stay at a high enough level of thought. That doesn't mean higher thought than other people. That's not an arrogant statement. It's simply saying, I don't want to get caught. We don't want to get caught in the day-to-day noise that's always negative, that we always see the world distorted because we look too close, we listen too hard to daily noise. We need to question everything. Is life expectancy shortening? No, it's not. It's not shortening. Everybody knows that. But the scientists, so much of it, we have to question and know this makes no sense. Not in anger. I know I sound a little edgy, don't I? I don't mean to. But just know that there's an agenda, and it's negativity. Also know that fear sells. But the only realism is optimism. It's not just because I'm an optimist that I say that. It's because that's true. It is true. We have solved all of our problems as humans. Over time, we do. And we become more abundant. We live longer, healthier lives. I know what comes with that is an odd thing. This is to me the big conundrum. How can we have so much, but there's more depression? That's the one I don't get. I don't understand that. Why we're so unhappy. It brings me back to this. I really think that the more we're connected, the more social media, the more stuff is out there, the more we compare. And comparison destroys joy. Every time. Every single time. We have so much. And if we can clear through that and see how abundant, amazing the world is, I think we can carve through that and we can see it more clearly. It's noisy. We've got to dial it down. Got to. It's not just the headline news that's negative sells. Think about all the newsletters and the equity indexed annuities and all those things. Fear sells. We got to make sure our inputs are okay and try to think above it. So anyway, I don't know. I don't know if that makes sense. We've been thinking a lot about it, trying to figure out these things. Not that you figure them out, but just trying to help us be thinking about where we're going, what we're doing, how we're thinking to navigate in a zero interest world. You know, so far so good, right? We're doing great, but what's next, right? gotta keep thinking, right? That's the fun part about this. And it's just amazing, amazing. Amazing. All right, we got to take a quick break. And I want your phone calls. Goodness gracious, we haven't had any calls yet today. It's 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. All right, let's jump on the phones. And if you're ringing in, yeah, there we go. Oh, okay, ring back. It's okay. Just got to give the board op a chance to grab that line when we come back from commercial, right, like that. He's got a lot of other stuff to do, okay? All right, so it's 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Ruben, thank you for calling. Go ahead, please. Are you there, Ruben?
Yes.
Great. Go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Just wanted to say, Mr. Pretzel, good morning. Just want to say that enjoying your subject matter this morning about what you're talking about and just kind of, you know, taking the time to look at what we have and not to keep reaching for something that, you know, that you know we don't have. Just want to say thank you for what you're saying this morning, because it kind of brings it home and just makes you know, at least me realize that, you know, I'm thankful for what I have, especially in this last year and how things have been, you know, pretty crazy. But just to appreciate, you know, that I'm still here. I'm still being able to enjoy, you know, just being able to get up and go outside and do something.
Mm. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Thanks.
You're welcome. Thank you, sir.
Is that, oh, is this you wanted to make that point? Is that all? You didn't have
that
a question?
That was the point I wanted to make, just to say thank you, because it's kind of a breath of fresh air for you to hear you say that. And like you're saying, there's a lot of negativity, and just to keep it positive, and, you know, yes, there is negative things, but at the same time, if you just focus on that, you know, how do you continue to move forward? And just want to express that, and thanks for you for bringing this subject up today.
Well, God bless you for making the call. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, sir.
Appreciate
have a good day.
It. Thank you. You too. Bye-bye. That was very nice. Let's go to Rick. Rick, thank you for calling. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, well, thank you, Mr. Pezzo, for taking my call. And I want to tell you that I called about 2 weeks ago and asked a question, and you gave me some great advice, and it all proved to be correct. And so I'm thankful for that, too. And now I have kind of a different version of the same question, because I don't know whether it's fate or whatever, but these fortuitous things keep falling into my financial lap, so I'm not going to complain, but I do need some advice on it. As I said the last time I called, I came into some money, and I put some in gold, some in silver, but most of it in stocks, and most of it in ETFs and mutual funds and things like that, and a little bit in bonds, etc. And one of the companies I acquired was one called 5-9, which you may or may not be familiar with, but the point being is that it recently announced that Zoom was going to buy them. And in the process of buying them, they said that the way they're going to swing it is that if you own stock in 5-9, which I did, you get basically a half share of Zoom for every share you own of 5-9.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the way it ended up. And so my question to you is the same thing as kind of last time when we talked about NVIDIA. Is if I keep buying 5-9, do I get Zoom along with it? Or is I just buy 5-9, I just get 5-9 and whatever I had at the time they made this announcement, that's all I'm going to get?
Nope.
Because it corresponds again to about approximately about a half share of Zoom for every full share you own of 5-9.
Right. Nope. You buy 5-9, you get a half a share of Zoom all the way up until it's done.
So you're kind of getting two for the price of one.
No, you're not getting two for one, because 5-9 is going to go away. It's gone. It goes to zero, and you have a half a share of Zoom. You don't have anything left of 5-9.
Oh, it doesn't. No. I didn't know that.
It absorbs into Zoom.
Well, that puts me in a quandary then. If I buy 5-9, the good news is I get Zoom and I still get 5-9, but the bottom line is down the line, so at some point in time, I'm going to lose all 5-9 and get Zoom. So
what you're doing now by buying 5-9, and there'll be a lot of volatility in 5-9 based on Zoom's price, okay, because all you're doing is buying Zoom now. If you buy 5-9, you're buying Zoom. All bets are on Zoom, not 5-9. Now, there's some arbitration going on that maybe the deal gets blocked or it doesn't happen or another suitor comes along and bids more for 5-9. That's why people would be buying 5-9 right now, because maybe another bid is coming and they want to outbid Zoom. It's unlikely, but that's what some people might feel. I'm not saying that this deal has any characteristics that, A, the FTC would not like. I don't know anything about the deal. I'm just telling you why people would be buying 5-9 over just buying Zoom. For me, if I wanted to own Zoom, I'd go buy Zoom. Okay, I'm not buying 5-9 to later become Zoom, unless there's a significant discount and I can get more Zoom because I buy 5-9. If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, I was under the erroneous conclusion that when it was all said and done, you just 5-9 stayed 5-9. And you picked up some free shares of Zoom.
No, it's being bought out, and you're going to own Zoom, and you're going to own nothing of 5-9. 5-9 will not exist; it ceases to exist.
So one day you have it, and the next day after it's all done, it just goes poof and disappears, and all of a sudden Zoom takes its place.
Correct. Rick.
Okay, correct. My friend.
You got it, Rick. All
Thank
right.
you so much.
Uh-huh. Have a good day.
You too now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. And we're going to be right back after Fox News. We've got a clear board. Bring us up. Hello, good morning, and welcome. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. Let's go ahead and go to the phones. It's Terry. Terry, go ahead, please.
Well, good morning, Professor.
Good morning, sir.
Oh, is this a great world or what?
It is a great world. I it was one of those things, too. I was thinking about this, Terry. You said that, and it was like, it reminded me of something I probably talk about this in another show, is timing of things, too. But, you know, for much of my life, I have often stopped and realized, and that's fortunate. I'm glad my brain worked that way. How fortunate I was to be alive now. I mean, not in the pioneer days, not, you know what I'm saying? You know, I didn't get, you know, didn't get scalped. I didn't have to die of cholera crossing the plains, all those things. It was just, it's such an amazing thing that we are alive now. And why we have such abundance is because we are alive now. Did we lose you, Terry?
You're breaking up on the phone, sir.
Okay. It sounds clear through my headphones here. Can you do you want to try it back, Terry? Is it maybe your phone on a bad connection? All right, we're losing Terry here, so okay. I'll tell you what, Terry, call us back and we'll grab you.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and call back.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, thanks. All right, in our now we lost Jim. All right. We're losing everybody. Maybe it is our phone lines. That very well could be. I guess they have had some problems here. Let's hope we get that fixed. All right. So let me finish a thought that I had earlier, and then we're going to take our final break as we try to figure out if we can even take calls, okay? All right. Earlier I was talking about how statistics lie and liars use statistics, okay? It happens all the time. And we also have to parse through as we're thinking about things, and whether it's equity indexed annuities that are sold in fear and all those other things. Can you have your cake and eat it too, right? Now, I've always said this, that your grandmother, who didn't get through the ninth grade, understood that you don't get market returns without risk. It's not true. And yet somehow we find in that we want to believe that that's true, even if it's not, and even if we know it's not, right? We know it can't be true. We want to believe that because we are so sucked into fear. We're so sucked into it. We're so afraid of losing what we have, right? Yeah, I had a friend one time, and I thought this was a great thing. He passed away. But one of the things he said that I thought was just great, you know, it's a Chinese proverb, right? The strongest grip is with an open hand. And he was talking, of course, about relationships and love and friendships and things like that. You let go. But it's also true when we think about that and we let go of our fears, right? When we are so afraid of losing everything, that somehow we're going to starve to death. And we can't have a clarity of thought in our mind, freezes us, and we can't move forward with investing, our life, going into business, all those things, because we're so fearful. You know, and I hear this a lot, too. Oh, kids are just having a real struggle getting started these days, you know? And we think about that and you go, like it was a piece of cake when we started? Are you kidding? It's always hard to go out making very little wages and try to get by and make a life. And it's also some of the funnest times of our life, right? Some of the greatest times when we're growing rapidly, making mistakes and falling forward. It's fun. And when we live in this fearful place, it's not good. It's not good for investing. It's not good for thinking about where we're going as a country, as a world, investment-wise. It just holds us back. It slams us down. So we can't think clearly. It's not just about looking at the world as a Pollyannish type of thing. And that's easy. Go ahead. If you're a curmudgeon, throw me in the bucket. You don't have to think about it because I'm not talking about you, right? Whatever. It doesn't matter. All of us are in the same place. We have all of this data coming at us, destroying clarity of thought. And unless we pull back in a meaningful, thoughtful way, we really do start to believe that life expectancies are going down. Huh? I remember having a discussion a few years back with my daughter. One of my daughters was so sure, because of all the things they were reading, that probably shouldn't have kids. And of course, she has two beautiful daughters now, but how bad it was, how rough it was, how there's no way it was going to work. The whole environment was toxic. This is what they had taught her in school. It wasn't not going to get better. And I tried to tell her that when I was in junior high, they showed film strips of the certainty of the orange world we were going to live in. Don't worry, honey. They're wrong. They're always wrong. It'll be okay. No. Right? We all live there if we let ourselves live there, because all the data is out there and we can dig and find it, find out why the market's going to melt down next week, why everything's going to die. And you know what? We're going to have market corrections. We absolutely certainly will. And it's not like I'm going, well, don't ever worry about stuff. I'm very worried about China, extremely worried about China, what they might do with Taiwan. After all, we did nothing about what they did as a world with Hong Kong. They just arrest people. The NBA loves China. It's not a problem. We love China. They're awesome. They're amazing as they imprison the Uyghurs. Uyghurs? They imprison them. They imprison business people. I read, I think it was today, that they imprisoned somebody in Hong Kong for booing the Chinese national anthem. Yeah, that's a country of free loving people. We need to support that. Of course they're frightening. So was the Soviet Union and on and on. What am I supposed to do? Hide? So these are all true worries, but also in the scheme of things, irrelevant, because there's nothing we can do about it. Nothing. So we get caught up in all of these things. We all do. And we have to have clarity of it. We do. It's hard. All right. Clearly, our phones aren't working. We'll take our final break, and I'm sure I will be told, sorry. And I'm sorry, but the phones are not working. And you're going to have to put up with me for 10 more minutes. We're going to take our final break. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. I would give the phone number, but it's not working. Our phones are down. So thank you all for trying. I know several people have been trying to phone in, and it's not working. We'll find out. The phone company is the technicians are all crawling all over the place trying to fix this problem, but it will not be done in the next 5 minutes as we close out some final thoughts today. You know, it's always therapeutic for me. Honestly, it is. I had this question come up this week saying, how in the world did you give up 30 years of Saturdays? I don't know. You know, I mean, back when I started doing the program, I just thought it was a great thing to do and get my name out a little bit, right? And then it just kind of grew into this thing that became part of me. And I loved radio and hanging out with the people like John DeWayne. It was like, why would I give that up? It's like the greatest thing in the whole wide world to be here to talk to you on Saturdays. It really is. And sometimes I'm up in the mountains and I can't do it. I can't even do it by phone. And so I've got a wonderful office partner in Jennifer Stone that has just been, you know, we've partnered up for 27 years, and she's brilliant, just absolutely brilliant, and takes it from time to time. And then we got people like Erica and Tom that have taken their shots at it too. And what does it do? It helps all of us think at a different level. No, we're not super smart. It doesn't make us all wise. It just means we have to think about things in a different way to share that thought with you. How do we think about things in a different way to bring a message to you that isn't some bunch of blah like the market? Here's what the market did this week. Like, that's helpful? I can't even stand it. I'm in the industry and I can't stand watching CNBC babble. Like 2 weeks ago, remember that? It was like on Monday where there's, oh my gosh, it's the Delta variant. It's going to take us all out and we're all going to go back into shutdown mode. And this happened on a Monday. The market went down 2%. Okay, you would have thought the world was ending. But weird, the market goes up 2% on Tuesday. Why? I don't know. But the people on CNBC who were the Delta variant, this is all the reason, had another bunch of reasons, and then blah, 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 on the next day. And no, nobody ever goes, what are you talking about? You went to bed, went to happy hour, had a couple martinis, and then went to bed and woke up and went, oh, let's go buy stocks for no reason under the sun. And now you're going to babble at us as to why the Delta variant is no longer a concern. The growth is no longer a concern. This is what plays for intelligent discussion. And it's like, we got to not do that. This is crazy. We got to think about that. So we don't want to run around with our hair on fire all the time. We want to try to think like great people, like John Templeton did. Great people, great investors, you know? Peter Lynch, Michael Price, people that think, and especially John Templeton, think in generational terms. I'll never forget when I had the opportunity to meet him. And it was all by just magic can't be planned. That's just like, you couldn't make this up. I forgot my passport. This is right after, of course, 9/11. Not right after. But I'm going to the Bahamas with a friend of mine who happened to be the heading up this meeting in the Bahamas for Franklin Templeton, the home of John Templeton. And so I went and spent some time, played some golf in Florida, and I'm on the way with him to the airport to fly in to Nassau. Bam! I think I forgot my passport. Well, since it's post 9/11, you can't talk your way in anymore. That's it. It's a done deal. So I have to have it overnighted and all that good stuff. Well, I missed the first part of the meeting and missed one of the guys that I wanted to see who ran the Templeton Growth Fund at the time. And I liked him. We were very friendly. So we had a great, you know, I wanted to go see him. So I went and saw him, and guess who's there? He looks out and he goes, you want to meet Sir John? I said, yeah, I'd love to meet him again. That'd be great. Why not? He's here. I'll go see. So he goes down and gets to spend an hour with him. If I had to, it wouldn't happen if I wouldn't have forgot my passport, right? So all those things say this, right? I get to spend time with him. He's 90 years old, and he's going to go on Louis Rukeyser's Wall Street Week. He said, I want to tell you something. I'm going to tell Louis Rukeyser. When I go there tomorrow, I am going to tell him that there's a 50% chance that by 2050, the Dow Jones Industrial Average will be at 50,000. Now, Sir John's not going to make it to 2050, and God rest his soul, he has passed on. That's the way he thought. That's the trajectory of the world. That's the trajectory of things, of our advancement. There's lots of things to worry about today. And if we play the comparison game and destroy your own personal joy, that's not going to help you in any way. But it certainly doesn't help us when we design policies either. I get that. But we're all getting better. Have a great weekend, everybody, and I do thank you for joining us. If you have any comments, shoot them over to PetsoFinancial.com.